Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Symphony call, the Q1 FY27 call. I have with me my colleague Aditya Bhartia, who is the co-head of research, to take us through this call and introduce to the management. Before I hand over to Aditya, please note that all of y'all are in the listen-only mode, and we will give an opportunity to ask the management a question. Do raise your virtual hand, and then we will unmute you. Please note that this call is being recorded. Over to you, Aditya.
Thanks, Swapna. Hello, everyone. A warm welcome on behalf of Investec India to Q1 FY27 earnings call of Symphony. We have with us the senior management team represented by Mr. Achal Bakheri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nupesh Shah, Managing Director, Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Chief Growth Officer. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Bakheri for initial comments, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Aditya. And thank you all participants for joining this earnings call of Symphony on this lovely cloudy afternoon. The customary safe harbor clause applies. And as we have done in the past, my colleague Nupesh Shah, who's the Managing Director, Corporate Affairs, will take us through a presentation, post which we are all here to take questions. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Nupesh Shah here. So if we summarize the quarter of June 26, domestic momentum, absolute margin discipline, and as far as overseas subsidiaries are concerned, the robust performance of the U.S. and China cushion the reduced export and import and CP headwinds. So on a consolidated basis, for June 26, revenue stands at 378 crore, up by 8% YoY. EBITDA stands at 48 crore, up from 38 crore, up by 26%, while consolidated PAT stands at 40 crore, down from 42 crore. However, EBITDA and PAT, I wish to look at from the point of view of in June 26, there has been one-time non-cash expenditure of rupees 5 crore, while in June 25, there was exceptional 9 crore of higher income. So if we ignore that, then April to April, EBITDA for June 26 is 53 crore versus 38 crore, while consolidated PAT 43 crore versus 35 crore, that is up by 23%. As you can observe, the gross margin, despite all headwinds and geopolitical situation and pressure on commodity prices and also inventory overhang due to bad summer of 25, we have marginally increased the gross margin percentage to 49.8%, while EBITDA to 12.60%. Coming to further specifics of June 27 quarter, June 27 for consolidated as well as standalone has witnessed second-highest revenue as well as EBITDA vis-à-vis any historical June quarter. The performance is led by domestic performance, duly supported by gross profit margin and EBITDA margin expansion, as shared earlier. Also noteworthy feature is BISP segment, that is Beyond India Summer Products, that is the sales product wise or segment wise, not dependent upon Indian summer, constituted about 560 crore on a console basis in trailing 12 months. That is almost 48%, reinforcing our strategic de-risking and diversification from Indian summer. Bonnet USA is now back to track and revenue grew by 35%. It has robust profitability, mainly on account of successful scale-up of new models of air cooler. GSK China revenue grew by 43% and operating leverage lifted the profitability, as well as now GSK China on a standalone basis is completely debt-free, including has repaid all the debt along with interest to Symphony India, just like as it happened many years before with Info Mexico. CTPL Australia, it is continuing revenue soften, but our commitment, we are reinforcing, there won't be any further capital allocation. So in terms of the impairment and write-off, it is completely behind us, as it was recorded in FY26. And for June 26 quarter, the board of directors have announced interim dividend of rupees 1 per share on a face value of rupees 2, with a total payout of about 7 crore. On a standalone basis, that is Symphony India, revenue stands at 241 crore versus 229 crore, while EBITDA stands at 30 crore versus 24 crore and PAT 28 crore versus 37 crore. Again, just like consolidated, if we take out exceptional or one time in both the quarters, the June 25 PAT stands at 24 crore versus June 26 of 28 crore. Just like consolidated top line, even on standalone, this is the second highest June quarter performance. By the way, domestic sales, that is India revenue, grew by 15% despite huge inventory overhang before the summer, and importantly, all different segments of modern trade grew in excess of 100%, while digital channels including D2C are highly profitable in excess of our normal domestic business and has a huge potential to scale up. As of 30th June 26, that is year end, a season end, there is no inventory overhang either at a trade level or at a company level. It is completely normalized. While on a standalone basis, BISP accounts for top line of 179 crore in TTM, that is 23%, and importantly, yet at EBITDA level, it is profitable, almost close to double digit percentage. However, standalone exports from India declined, mainly on account of geopolitical and shipping disruptions. Next, about some of the financial ratios. So, by the way, as on 38 June, our capital employed as well as net worth has further reduced and rationalized on account of impairment done in FY26. So, as on 38 June 26, core capital employed on standalone is 73 crore versus 136 crore, translating into ROC percentage of 164, while return on net worth at 22%, and treasury stands at 345 crore versus 363 crore. This is after remitting to Australia and repaying their acquisition loan as well as working capital loan until 38 June of approximately 225 crore. In other words, after repaying 225 crore of debt, treasury stands at 345 crore, almost in line with 38 June 25. While on consolidated basis, capital employed is now almost half, 206 versus 409, as climate technology was taking away substantial capital, translating into console ROCE percentage of 67 and return on net worth of 18%. So, thank you. With this, we can take questions.
Aditya, over to you.
Hi, sir. Maybe I'll start with the first initial questions. It would be helpful if you could guide us what could be the proportion of sales that are generated from modern trade and e-commerce channels.
No, so due to competitive reasons, we don't divulge. However, year after year, it registers very robust growth and profitably.
Understood, sir.
And we club it as a part of the modern trade, which of course, apart from e-commerce and E2C, includes large format stores and large regional stores. So what I can say, modern trade constitutes almost or in excess of one-third of our top line in India, while general trade constitutes 60-65%.
Understood. That's helpful, sir. And in terms of profitability, will it be as good as our traditional channel or it lacks by a wide margin?
Profitability to MT versus GT.
So it's almost comparable.
Understood. Okay, sure. So my second question is on the cost side. Do you think that, I mean, in this quarter we have recorded very good margins, but of course some costs have gone up and I guess something like plastic cost itself would have gone up. So do you anticipate some impact in the next few quarters on margins because of costs going up, or is it a case that because inventory in the channel is so low that everything should essentially get passed on and we should really be seeing any impact on profitability?
So we will, frankly, it all depends on how long the war lasts and when the sort of costs begin to normalize. So as of now, the costs are still fairly elevated. at least in the short term, we expect there to be margin pressure, although we would be passing on some of it to the market. Not all of it, because we don't know how long this is going to last. So, in anticipation of a normalization, which has to happen sooner or later, we will pass on some, but not all of it. So in the short term, margins are likely to be impacted.
Understood, sir. Understood.
Despite all the value engineering, despite all the cost reduction that we will be attempting to do, there will be some impact. Difficult to quantify as yet how much, but there is likely to be some impact.
Sure, sir. I'll come back in the queue, and in the meantime, we can take some questions from the participants. Swapna?
Yeah, thanks, Aditya. A gentle reminder to everybody who we have opened the Q&A flow for everyone to ask their questions. You have the opportunity to raise your virtual hand, and when I unmute you, please state your name and the fund that you represent for our understanding. With that, I will now request Mr. Balasubramanian. Sir, go ahead, but please mention the fund that you are from. I have unmuted you, sir. Please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm audible.
Hello, please.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, modern trade is growing over 100%. Could you explain the drivers behind this surge, whether it is a market share gain from unorganized trade or increased in the market itself, or we have changed our strategy, or is that a low base from last Q1? Like, how sustainable this growth rate in the coming quarters are? Yes.
Bala sir, you are from which fund, sir? Sorry, I'm going to ask again.
Bala from Arihant Capital.
Right.
So it's a combination of factors. One is that the modern trade, just like e-com or D2C, didn't have any any channel inventory. Unlike the general trade, which had elevated levels of channel inventory carried over from the previous year, had the general trade not had the kind of inventory that they had, maybe their sales would have also been 100% or whatever. So it is really a function of the inventory that the channel was carrying. That's one. And secondly, we cannot expect this kind of a growth. We will be very happy if this kind of a growth continues. But that's very unlikely to happen. So I think we shouldn't expect that going forward. Right? What was the third question? Yeah, that's it, right, Mr. Balasubramanian?
Yes, sir. Sir, my second question, I think,
just related to that, Balasubramanian. So, as general trade was carrying the inventory, obviously, there was a subdued performance at a company level in terms of sales to them, but obviously at their level, there was a phenomenal sales. That is number one. And number two, and hence, year as a whole, as inventory has normalized, we expect general trade in particular and all other trade channels should register growth, which is also our expectation and business plan.
Got it, sir. Sir, my second question, in USA, I think the growth is 35%. I think it was a very good growth. Mentioned about a successful scale-up of new air cooler SKUs. Could you please mention what kind of SKUs are really picked up in the US market? These are specially designed for US market, or they are rebranded Indian SKUs?
They are essentially rebranded Indian SKUs. We have one major customer in USA, which is the Home Depot, and our other customer is Lowe's. These are two of the largest sort of companies in retailers in US in the home center, home care kind of category. And the products that we sell to them they mostly go from India, some even go from Mexico. And the product that has registered the greatest sales growth is a model called Air Force that goes by the name of Air Force in India. It also goes by the name of Air Force, but under our USA brand, which is Bonair. Essentially, that's what gave us the big uptick in numbers.
Okay.
The sales has also been aided by a very good summer in the USA, especially in the Southwest, which is our core market. It's fairly hot over there this year. So it's a combination of everything, the right product at the right price, in the right channel, aided by the tailwind of a good summer.
Okay, sir. So this distribution strategy, how it is differ from Australia?
Vastly differs from Australia. This is purely, so we have a warehouse in USA, and this is a retailer that we sell to. Whereas in Australia, the part of our business that comes from retailers is still very small. Bulk of it still goes to sort of the GT equivalent of India. The installation companies. I think the closest semblance would be the GT channel for India.
Got it, sir.
Vast difference.
Okay. So we learned most of the lessons from Australian market and we implemented in the US. Is the right way to understand, sir?
No. The two markets have been very different. So we couldn't, even if it wanted to, we couldn't have implemented the US model in Australia or the Australia model in USA. The markets are, the breakup of the markets are very different.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, I will request everybody to limit your questions to maybe two questions and then come back in the queue. I would now request Mr. Haider to please inform us your company name and go ahead with your question. I'm unmuting you, sir. Mr. Haider, please let us know your company name and ask your question. Thank you.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Good evening, sir. This is Haider from Yes Securities. My question was, could you just tell us the revenue, EBITDA and PAT numbers for all the subsidiaries?
Yeah. So, Bonair USA, I am sharing in INR, 36 crore versus 27 crore.
Revenue.
Top line. And EBITDA is 18 crore versus 7 crore. I will come to EBITDA number later on. Then Inco Mexico, 54 crore versus 66 crore, and EBITDA of 3 crore versus 7. GSK China, 34 versus 24 crore, and EBITDA 6 versus 2. All these numbers are for June 26 quarter. Symphony Brazil, this is not a season, so nothing to talk about it. And as far as Climate Technology Australia is concerned, 27 versus 31, and EBITDA negative 4 versus negative 2.
Sir, I think you missed out on the PAT numbers also, if you could share that as well.
Okay. So, Bonair USA PAT is 17 crore. Inco Mexico PAT is 1 crore. GSK China PAT is 5 crore. And Climate Technology Australia, because of exceptional income, as its shareholding in Busa and IPRs were sold, so it is very high PAT. but it is on account of one time worth of about 42 crore of write back or gain on that, and hence PAT is 36 crore.
Okay, sir.
And that needs to be excluded, and it has been net off at a console level, so operating level minus that. Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that. Then also, what kind of price hikes have you taken in the quarter? Because we are seeing raw material going haywire. So, what kind of price hikes have you taken, and what kind of price hikes are you yet to take in the coming quarters?
As of now, we have not, you know, not really taken in the household cooler segment. In the other segments, we have taken about 7 to 10% of a price hike. You know, and in others we will be taking hikes in the days to come. But how, to what extent we will, you know, continue raising remains to be seen, because, you know, like I said previously, it all depends on how the, you know, when the war ends and when the costs normalize.
Right. So, see, you mean X of household products you have taken 7 to 10% price hikes?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That is it from my side.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Heather. Before I move to the next participant, I would like to remind everyone that if you have a question, do raise your virtual hand and we'll unmute you. If you've joined through a dial-in, please press star and 5 on your phone to raise your hand. I will now move to Ms. Shraddha. Ma'am, you will have to tell us the fund that you're from, and I'll continue with the call. I've unmuted you, ma'am. Please go ahead. Ms. Shraddha, can you hear us? We are unable to hear you. You are unmuted.
Let's move to the next question.
We'll have to wait for some time, sir, for the next question. Meanwhile, I have my colleague Vineet. Vineet, go ahead, ask your question.
Hi. Sir, I have one question on Australian subsidiary. We've had some challenges there for some time now. I understand we've had COVID and all supply chain issues, etc. But what is our strategy there to turn operations around?
First and foremost, our strategy is not to deploy any additional capital, and whatever this can be done without deploying any additional capital in our Australian business. The point is, we are very clear internal, and also to assure all the shareholders that whatever impairment or cash losses or write-off is the history, that's not going to happen. So without that, whatever can be done, we will be doing it, and as it unfolds, we will keep you informed.
Understood. And sir, anything incremental on product introduction, our distribution, manufacturing, anything on those lines?
Where? In Australia or India?
Australia.
Australia. No. Just more of the same. Nothing new.
Understood. Okay. And my second question is on the BISP products which we sell. If you can highlight some of the larger, apart from exports within India, which are some of the larger categories, and if you can give a ballpark number, how much would they contribute and how's the traction and customer response on those products?
So it consists of large space that is centralized air cooling. And apart from exports, it consists of tabletop fan, which sells around the year, water heater, and exports. And this is on a standalone basis. And when it comes to consolidated level, essentially in our mind, whatever sales happens, which is not dependent on Indian summer. All that is beyond Indian summer products, that is VISP. So on a console basis, sales by our subsidiaries is all, because there is a geographical diversification. So on a console level, about 48% is VISP. While on a standalone basis, on a trailing 12 months, it is 23%.
Understood. And so particularly LSP, we are quite aware about even exports. But just to harp on the other two products, tabletop fans and water heaters, is it largely online which we are doing, and how do we plan to scale these products up across the country? Any plans to get into GT, etc., and maybe launch in other states as well?
We've already launched in other channels, modern retail and as well as GT. It's not everywhere yet. It's just a matter of time by which it will be everywhere. But we are already present in the top cities across the country in GT as well.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Virit. My next person on the queue is Mr. Pratik Talwatkar. I have unmuted to you, Pratik. Please go ahead and ask your question. Mr. Pratik, can you ask us the question? Right, we'll come back in queue for Pratik. I will allow Mr. Haider to come back again and ask the question. Mr. Haider, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for the follow-up, sir. So I just wanted to understand one thing. So we have been doing good growth in the US business, but this is more from understanding the business perspective. The US is a much more developed market than India, right? And the per income capita and all is also significantly higher. So why would there be a need for an air cooler in somewhere like the US as compared to an India, which is a developing economy, and we need something more cheaper over here as compared to an RAC? So why is it that the sales in the US would be a good market as compared to a place like India or a Brazil or anywhere which is still developing?
We have said this many times in the past that, you know, coolers is not viewed as a poor man's air conditioner everywhere outside India. It's only in India that it is seen as a substitute for air conditioners. You will find coolers being sold not only in the USA, but even across Europe. Though quantities are not much because, you know, the market for this is a relatively small market, even for air conditioners or fans. But coolers are sold even in the Middle East, which has total abundance of energy, and cost is not a consideration, price is not a consideration. So it's only in India that, you know, we view coolers as a cheaper alternative to air conditioners. In the US, it is bought for usage outdoors, because in the Southwest, all houses are centrally air conditioned. So despite that, air coolers are bought. Like I said, they are used mainly outdoors, near the pool, near the backyard, in people's garages. And there are some products which are even sold, some of our models are even sold as household coolers, for whole house cooling. They are mounted on the ceiling and they cool through ducts across the house. There are some which are window mounted coolers which cool the entire house again. So it's a very good alternative to air conditioning in the Southwest, where it's very dry, because air coolers provide that sort of little bit of humidity which is very good to feel in very dry conditions. So it's a combination of factors. It's a combination of factors. And most importantly, it's a portable product. It's a plug-and-play product, that's what the most compelling advantage of this product is.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the clarity on that. Thank you. That is it from my side.
Thank you very much, sir. I am going to wait for another couple of minutes. Before we move to the next attendee, we'll wait for a few questions. Thank you.
Swapna, in meantime, I think there is some questions in the chat as well. So if you can read out for the management to respond to.
Yes, perfect. I will do that right now. So we have a question from Ms. Shraddha. So firstly, she's apologized. There's some network issue. She's unable to ask directly, but she's got three questions. I'll ask them one by one. The first question is, could you provide your outlook for the ROW business over the next 2 to 3 quarters, particularly for the USA and Mexico, with expectations of strong summer conditions in these markets? Do you expect demand to improve meaningfully? That's her first question.
So as far as Mexico is concerned, we've had 2 consecutive, bad summers. By that we mean mild summers. So the summer of 25 and the summer of 26 have been sort of mild summers, and which have had an impact on sales. This is the first time in memory that this has happened, and we have people in Mexico who have been with the company for more than 30 years, and they've never witnessed 2 consecutively mild summers. So we hope and we expect that the summer of 27, should be certainly, statistically it will be almost impossible for it to be a mild summer. It should be certainly a fairly robust summer, and the sales should grow significantly. I cannot put a number on it yet, but we expect there to be significant growth. As far as USA is also concerned, as you said, if we were to assume that the summer will be robust, if that's the assumption, then the sales should further increase next summer. Even this year, I'm for sure this next year will be significantly better if the summer is as good as this year.
Thank you, sir. Her next question is, have export shipments now fully resumed, or are you still facing logistic or shipping related disruptions? Are geopolitical uncertainties continuing to affect order inflows or execution in key export markets?
So the Middle East, which is our primary, which was primarily impacted, continues to remain affected,
and for other reasons, the cost has shot up significantly. So that is impacting the overall demand. So overall, the costs have gone up, and which is also impacting the buyer sentiment. So people are more cautious because the landed costs have gone up and they are not able to pass on the entire increase. So therefore the purchase is now a bit muted. So it's still not back to normal.
Okay. Her next question is, Bonair, USA and GSK China delivered healthy growth during the quarter, while Mexico and Australia remained relatively weak. How should we think about the growth trajectory of each of these businesses over the next few quarters? During Q1, demand for air coolers was somewhat patchy, particularly in North India due to uneven weather patterns. Could you help us understand the impact this had on your sales and demand trends across regions? How have secondary sales trended in July and early August? Have you seen any improvement in offtake after the normalization of weather conditions?
It's not a question, that's an essay.
I agree. Would you want me to break it down further or?
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Hold on, Sapna. So maybe.
So essentially, Bonair is the first part, so the growth trajectory. Second part is in Q1 was the patchy North India weather.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. So, if in the next few quarters, this business is likely to see sales in the summer. So the US summer sort of extends into the current quarter. So we will witness revenue in the current quarter, but the next two quarters we won't see much revenue in the US market because primarily it's coolers and coolers are, sold only in the summer. As far as China is concerned, that has more of an even thing. Even sales cycle because there's a lot of industrial coolers
and plus exports which will continue. So we expect the GSK to continue the momentum, and in the coming quarters based on how much export orders are have received, so we believe that we should be able to do fairly good in GSK. Bonair USA coming quarter should be good.
Current quarter,
which is the current quarter. But after that, it will be, muted. So that is what is as far as USA, Bonair USA and GSK China is concerned. As far as the second question is concerned, the Q1 was definitely patchy as far as North India and even East India is concerned. But in the coming quarter, we don't expect any secondary sales, but there will be primary sales. Which is basically off-season buying, which happens by our channel partners, which will happen in the current and the subsequent quarters.
All right. I think that's the last of it. Maybe I'll make the last announcement if there are any questions. We'll wait for 1 or 2 minutes, sir. Otherwise, I would request you to make the closing remarks and before we end the call for today.
For 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of minutes if there's any last minute question. Otherwise, I think we're good to go. Yes, sir. Go ahead and I would request you to make the closing remarks.
Okay. All right. Once again, thank you all for your participation and for the interest that you have shown in our company. And we look forward to seeing all of you again next quarter. Thank you and have a great day. Bye-bye.
And also thank you to English Tech as well as Anish for organizing and coordinating this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And on behalf of InvestTech, my colleague Aditya and Vidit and I thank the Symphony management for giving us the opportunity to host their earnings call. Thank you.